D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Pleased to be joined, as always, by Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman, who joins the program now. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm old. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. You are not old. You are distinguished. How about that?
I like that. I like the way you think, Adam.
Thank you. Well, I'm making up for the, you know, I said you were just all right a couple weeks ago when I went more than all right. So I'm just trying to make up for that. But, Elliot, we were all flabbergasted by the Minnesota Wild being the team to step up and acquire Quinn Hughes late last week. So now that Hughes is off the market, which name brand player do you have your eyes on now as a potential trade?
Are you asking me this because I'm on radio in Nashville?
I wasn't, but you can go there if you'd like.
You know, hey, Derek, I see you yawning. Am I boring you?
Oh, no, I'm not
like
yawning. Did I yawn?
I didn't see a yawn.
Yeah, I don't think I yawned.
I looked like you were yawning there.
Oh, no, not at all. You never bore me, man. Okay. You always come with
just
the good stuff.
Just making sure. You know, I think the Nashville guys are going to be interesting. Look, he's not as big a name, but there is kind of a unique situation going on in Los Angeles right now involving a center by the name of Philip Deneau. Deneau is signed a six-year contract with the Kings 5 years ago after he left Montreal. He was a really good player for them. He was basically their second-line center for a chunk of it behind future Hall of Famer Anja Kopitar, who's retiring after this year. Now with Quentin Byfield playing center for them, he's kind of their third line center, and this year has gone very poorly for him. And there have been some rumors that he might want out or they might want to trade him, and his name's definitely been out there. He got sick last weekend. He didn't play. He's still not playing. They were on a road trip. They lost to Florida last night, and I've just been told it's a really complicated situation. I think both sides would like to move on, but it's so hard to find centers right now. Like the Kings, with Kopitar retiring and Deneau under contract for one more year, they don't want to trade him unless they get a center, and they don't want to get worse, and they do need him. And even though they've had a nightmare in the playoffs the last 3 years, they can't beat Edmonton. He's been pretty good in those series. So I think he wants out. I think they want to trade him. But I just don't think that they can find a trade because they need a center back, and those are so hard to find. So that would be a name right there. And you know what? I still think New Jersey, which we had a big win last night in Vegas, is looking at a couple of your guys. So we'll see. I mean, I guess it was reported that today that the new owner, Bill Haslam, and Nick Saban are meeting with the media on Monday.
That is correct.
So I think we'll, assuming it doesn't happen before then, I think we're going to get a better picture. Like, as I said, I met Bill Haslam briefly in Colorado last week, and he kind of said he wasn't ready to talk yet. So I think everybody's very curious to hear what he has to say.
So, Elliot, now that the New Jersey Devils have missed out on Quinn Hughes, we expected the Devils to be the landing spot. You have talked about Stamkos, O'Reilly perhaps being linked to the Devils. Does missing out on Quinn Hughes ratchet up the pressure or accelerate the Devils' desire to get something done, not specifically with Stamkos or O'Reilly, but just in general?
Well, I think it definitely has ratcheted up the pressure on them. Like, there's two things. Number one, at the beginning of the year, they were ravaged by injuries. They were one of the first teams to do it, and they overcame it. They were 13-4-1. They were really doing a great job. But then Jack Hughes, who is getting closer, it sounds like, he had that fluke injury at the dinner a couple weeks ago, and he's been out. And since then, they've really dried up. They've really battled before that big win last night, and they've fallen out of a playoff berth, even though the East is jammed tight. They're out. And, you know, I think the fans, they were really disappointed that they didn't get Quinn Hughes, Jack's brother. I think there was almost like this, you know what it's like? It's like people were like, Quinn Hughes is anointed to go to the Devils. Everybody thought it was a fait accompli. It was obvious. And whether it happened now or it happened later, it was going to happen. And the fact that Minnesota kind of came out of nowhere to swipe him away, it's made some of those fans really unhappy. Now, I think a little bit of this may not have happened as people believe. Like, one of the things that we talked about, and I talked about it too, is that they have no cap room, and the narrative has become that they couldn't trade for him because they couldn't clear the cap room. And I don't believe that's 100% true. I do think they've had some players use their no-trade clause to veto deals, but I also think there was a point in this Quinn Hughes process, Adam, where they realized they were not going to be able to get him. They realized they were going to be outbid for him, and they said, we can't not get Hughes and trade people off our roster when we're already shorthanded due to injury. So I think they kind of walked away from that whole situation. I still think they're going to clear cap room, and I still think they're going to be busy. And, you know, I've said this before on your show, and I'll say it again. They've liked O'Reilly for some time. Do they get him? I don't know, but they like him.
Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet is with us. Elliot, the Predators lost a tough one last night to the Carolina Hurricanes, but before that loss, Nashville had won 7 of 10. And it got me wondering, and I'm going to ask you this question. Have you gotten any sense that Barry Trotz's mindset has changed at all with the Predators winning more consistently as of late?
No, I don't think it's changed a ton. I think they recognize that the group has to get a little bit younger and have some fresh blood. I think they're really happy to see that they've been more competitive. You know, the fans pay hard-earned money for those tickets. You want to give them a good show. You want to give them some wins. And lately they have done that, including Stamkos's very impressive 4-goal game. But I mean, you still look up and I check the standings. There's still 7 points out of the playoffs. It's a big challenge. They got to leap over a lot of teams. And I just think that even if they were charging up the standings, they would look at it and say they still need new blood, fresh blood, some new energy. So I really do feel that he will continue to be committed to that. You know, the thing too, I think we've all kind of wondered, like, that's why next Monday is so big. I think it's, first of all, I thought that was really interesting how Saban was announced the other day. I think that's pretty cool. I think it's even more amazing that he's actually going to be up there at the press conference. Like, I'm curious to see, like, is Saban actually going to have, like, any kind of, I don't even know if decision-making role is the right word, but, like, any kind of role at all. And, like, as somebody said to me today, it's like Nick Saban, the new president of hockey operations of the Predators. And I was like, I can't imagine that's the case. But I think it's fascinating. I just think, Adam, we're going to get an idea of what Haslam's vision is. Because the one thing I did hear at the Board of Governors was, one other governor said to me, he goes, you get a lot of things wrong, but one thing you got right is that this guy's asking a lot of questions. And he's asking people like, what do I need to know? What do I have to be aware of? So I'm really curious to see what his vision is, but I don't think Trotz's has changed.
Now, it seems like, Elliot, you know, you bring it up, Nick, and I was going to ask you that question. It seems like you answered the bulk of it. But it does seem like now that he's become a part of the ownership group, it seems like those that are, you know, that you're around and are in the hockey world, they look at this as being a positive. Is that a true assessment of it, or is everyone still trying to grasp, you know, Coach Saban being a part of the hockey world?
And Elliot, just so you know, I didn't know if you knew this or not, but Derek played for Nick Saban at Michigan State years ago.
Who played?
No, I played for Nick.
D-Mace played for Nick Saban in college.
Yes.
But before he went to LSU
I didn't hear you say D-Mace. I'm a really interesting guy. I actually am a fan. I actually find Nick Saban very interesting, and I follow this whole career from like the Kent cradle of coaches all the way out here. So I didn't, I just didn't hear you clearly, Willie. I'm sorry. I'll clean my ears when I get off the air here. Well, you know what, like Derek, like, mm-hmm. like you know him, like, mm-hmm. how is it bad? Like, to have like that guy in your organization, the guy, someone who's been as successful as he is, someone who might have a fresh way of ideas of looking at things. I don't think something like that is ever bad. You know, I just couldn't imagine he'd be expected to give like advice on personnel decisions or anything like that. Maybe he might be talking about what makes a good organization, what makes a team successful, why some cultures win and some cultures lose. And if Nick Saban walked up to me and I was the GM of the National Predators and he said, look, this is what worked for me, you're right. I would sit there for an hour and take notes because he knows something, right? But I just couldn't imagine that he'd be coming in as sort of like just any kind of personnel decision maker. It would be wild. Like, I don't know if A.J. McCarron's going to solve the center problems for the National Predators.
Good name from the past. Well done, exactly. Elliot. We had a good talk with Barry Trotz earlier this week about that very thing, and he told us, he shared with us, there already have been some, and they've played some clips of it. He went in and talked to the rookies, for example, at the training camp behind the scenes. Nobody knew it at the time, but they shared that. And Barry Trotz has said he's really enjoyed just talking coach to coach. Andrew Brennan and the coaching staff have talked to him. I think Nick Saban just enjoys talking to coaches and learning about stuff. And that Barry Trotz says that has already been valuable.
You know what, Willie? I think coaches are like that. And I bet you Andrew Brennan probably likes it as much as, or Barry Trotz likes it as much as Nick Saban does. Like, I remember when Claude Julien was the head coach of the Boston Bruins, they had the four coaches there were Claude Julien, Bill Belichick, I think Terry Francona was still there, and I think Brad Stevens was the coach of the Celtics at the time. And Claude told me that, like, they had, I don't know if they had a group chat or something, but they would talk to each other. And he said that was some of his favorite times in Boston, was being able to talk to those other guys about what they were going through. Like, I think that kind of stuff happens all the time. And I think they like comparing what works in your sport, what doesn't work in your sport. Like, I think these, like, for lack of a better term, I think a lot of these guys are like kind of geeky. And I say that in a good way. They like hearing this kind of thing. I like hearing that kind of thing. And, you know, I'll remember in 2017 during the Stanley Cup final, our set was in a box that was right next to the box that Nick Saban was in. So a couple of times we were doing our show and Nick Saban, like, he was kind of looking over and seeing how it all worked. And then he'd get back to his group. Like, it was, I didn't want to bother him or anything like that, but I thought it was really, like, a couple times during our hits, I saw him looking over to see how it kind of all worked. I thought that was really interesting.
Elliot, you've got the Maple Leafs coming in on Saturday night, which is always fun. I've always wondered how much the Nashville audience is aware when Hockey Night in Canada is in town. It's like such a big deal up there where you are, but in Nashville, is it just another Saturday night? I don't know. The game time's different, right? That's what people will notice, right? It's a little earlier.
You play at 6, right? Because television ruins everything. Yep.
Sure. So give people that are going to the game maybe a sense of where the Leafs are right now.
Well, they got a big game tonight. It was funny. So I like to go. I like to sit in the crowd a couple games a year. I really miss it. It's not something I get a chance to do that often. And they were starting to grind. They were starting to be a little bit better. And then on Tuesday night, they had a really rough game. They fell behind. Chicago doesn't have Connor Bedard. He's not playing right now. And they fell behind 2-0 pretty quick. And that crowd was getting really restless. Like, they were booing at times and they were grumbling and they were losing late, and they scored 2 goals in 8 seconds late in the third period, and they won the game. And people went from "this sucks" and booing them to "what a great game tonight." Like, it's kind of funny how quickly that flips. But there was a pretty interesting play. The 2-2 goal with about 3 minutes to play was Austin Matthews on the power play. And he's been struggling a bit. And after he scored, he put his hand to his ear like Hulk Hogan. And, you know, and he admitted, like, he heard the boos, and he said he was trying to rally their guys. And as you can imagine, it has been 48 hours of nonstop talk about that cup to the ear up here. And, you know, personally, I didn't mind it. I think you have to be very careful when you take a run at your own fans. But the thing is, like Austin Matthews, like a lot of great players in any sport, when they're at their best, they're a little bit defiant. There's a bit of ego there. There's a bit of sass there. There's a bit of an edge there. There's a bit of, oh, yeah, like, I'll show you. And we hadn't seen a lot of that from him this year. So the fact that he showed that emotion, I kind of liked it. They've got a big game tonight. They're in Washington. Washington beat them pretty badly earlier this year. And they are battling to make the playoffs. Now, Saturday night's a big night. Willie, the only thing I don't like about it is that I'm not in Nashville too. Like, my broadcast partner, Kyle, is the ringside reporter for the game, and he's flying there tomorrow morning. And I already told him how jealous I am of him that he gets a weekend in Nashville. But it's like all these games for Toronto now are massive games. Like, they dug themselves a hole, and they've got to dig out of it.
Yeah, the Predators have the Rangers the next night, another team right in that mix of teams. Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting weekend for the Predators here. So, Elliot, there's so much talk around the league, especially since the Hughes trade, that you have these three super teams in the Central Division, the Predators division, and they seem to be head and shoulders above everybody else in the division, at least for now. And everybody's already talking about the same thing. Two of these teams are going to play in the first round. One of them's going to be out. And I feel like if you did a vote of all hockey people, all hockey fans, it would be so overwhelming to go back to the 1-8. You've talked about this before, but why do you think the commissioner is so defiant about that particular thing?
I wish I had a good answer. I think some of it is stubbornness. I really do. I do think that's a thing. I know that years ago, I always do wonder too if TV plays a factor. And I remember a few years ago in the NHL, they used to have a setup where the highest seeded, like after the first round of all the teams left standing, highest seed would play lowest seed and the two middle seeds would play each other. And he told me that US TV wanted them to end that. US TV wanted a bracket. So I know there have been times they have made decisions for that kind of reason. I think there a little bit is like, I do think some of it is, you know, hey, we want to create rivalries, and the best way to do it is this way. The one thing I will say though, Willie, is, if this was such a big deal to everyone, why didn't it get dealt with in the CBA that got done for this for this year? Like, you know, like the players really fought to make Olympic hockey a priority, and now they're going this coming year, and they're going in 4 years. They got that done. So I think if it really mattered, I mean really mattered to people here, it might have gotten done now.
Elliot, before we let you go, because we won't talk to you next Thursday because, of course, it's Christmas. So I think the next time we're going to talk to you is after Team Canada announces its roster for the Olympics. So I am going to ask you to look into your crystal ball and tell me what the most controversial roster decision that Team Canada is going to make that is going to absorb a lot of your time on Sportsnet, on your podcast, when this announcement is made on New Year's Eve.
If Bedard makes it or doesn't.
That's over the goalie, huh? I say this because the Predators just had a huge game against Binnington, and we were talking about that.
You know, I'll tell you this. Like, Willie, Jordan Binnington could have a save percentage of 200.
And it's moving that direction, that you know.
Yeah, I know. I'd still put him on the team. Like, last year, he played the game of his life on the stage of his life to win. Now, is he going to end up being the starter? Is he going to end up playing the big games? No, I don't know that. That's still to be determined. But Willie, if I was running that team, he would be on Team Canada because of that game last year, and I think that will happen. I, I actually think the like Macklin Celebrini, who plays for San Jose, I think he's a lock. I think he's going to be on this team. The biggest one's going to battle is going to be Bedard and whether or not he gets in or not.
If it's not Bedard, who do you think it's going to be? You did a great piece, by the way, on Tom Wilson. I know Tom Wilson is firmly in the running. Nick Suzuki. So if not Bedard, who? Wilson or Suzuki?
So I think there's about six or seven guys. I think Wilson's on. I think there's about six or seven guys who are for two or three spots. And I think Wilson's going to be on the team. I think Celebrini is going to be on the team. So I'm looking at like five newcomers for Connor Bedard, Nick Suzuki from Montreal, Bo Horvat from the Islanders, Wyatt Johnston from the Dallas Stars, Mark Scheifele from Winnipeg, who you guys know well, and three returning forwards I think are kind of in this gray zone. Anthony Cirelli from Tampa, Travis Konecny from Philadelphia, and Seth Jarvis from Carolina. I think it's like eight guys for two or three spots. That's what I think it is.
Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet has been our guest on D-Mays, Ving and Adonik. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, because we won't talk to you next week, have a wonderful holiday. Happy New Year. And if we run into Kyle on Saturday, we'll mess up his perfectly coiffed hair for you as punishment for him going to Nashville and you not coming.
I hope you do. And guys, like all three of you, I love coming on. David, who always texts me to make sure I'm there. It's a 5-year time. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, guys. And Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to all the great hockey fans of Nashville, Tennessee.
Thank you, Elliot.
Thank you.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot Freeman had to say. You can as well at 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Wow. What a tongue twister. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. That's what I get for talking too fast. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.